Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Something sentimental. Like a frame photo that's engraved.
Getting shorter.
How about chocolate? Something homemade, especially
homemade
moms
chocolate?
With younger kids. Homemade chocolate, yeah. Open a business where you hire the elephant out for events is the number one answer. That's it. Mine were wrong, too. I said start a manure business or ride it to work. Neither one of those.
Why the F is there a cinder block in our kitchen? And she says, well, when the contractors were here a while ago, they had it here. They just never took it with them. And I said, why is it in the kitchen? She goes, I sometimes use it to get to the top of the cabinets.
Oh. I was hoping for that one. That's the one I was...
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Pros.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Zibada. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners. In great
thousands.
Places like Medford, Oregon.
Yep.
Bradford, West Gillenbury, Ontario, Canada. Dares Beach, Maryland. St. Charles, Missouri. Derby, Kansas. Rotterdam in the Netherlands. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Happy day after Cinco de Mayo. Did anybody do anything for Cinco de Mayo? Anyone? Show of hands? Anyone?
It's the holiday of Oscar's people.
Frozen margaritas.
You had how many?
Four.
Wow.
Four.
I had two. I had one and a half big ones because we had our gallon
that's
left
probably
over.
Probably like eight then for you. Eight.
But I had a Grand Marnier topper on it.
Oh, that's ooh. Nice. Yeah. I had some Budweiser.
I had supervised drinking is now my thing. So when my wife is around, I can imbibe, and it was wonderful. We get it from our bad place, not our bad place, our good bad place.
Not your bad place.
Iguanaria.
Right, yeah. Right.
And they have a drive-thru where you can buy a gallon of margaritas and put them in the freezer, and then...
is that truly just classic Florida? A drive-through margarita.
No, I don't think so. I think there have been drive-through liquor stores all over the country.
Yeah, but this, by definition, is like an open package. It's a gallon bucket.
Looks like a gallon container, a milk container. That's what it looks
okay.
like. But it's
all
got
right.
margaritas in it. I think that I'm not sure that they always did that or whether that's pandemic related. I'm not sure, but all I know is that, we used to go in there, and when you put the margarita in the freezer, it just holds up beautifully because it's a frozen product.
Sure.
And then, you pour it into a cup. You can
and
drink.
Because of the alcohol, it doesn't freeze solid, right? It stays like a slushy
consistency. It doesn't freeze solid. But I got it out because I'm not the expert, and I took a wooden spoon with a long handle, and I was kind of trying to stir it and then pour it upside down. And then what did Carla do? She's not here. She's facialing.
Did she
She's
cut washing the top faces. Off of the...
She's washing faces today.
The 2-liter jug?
No, she had... she. I came over, and I was struggling with this thing.
Struggling.
Just going kind of like... not. It's not hard, but it was like frozen, and
yeah.
it was slushy.
Yeah, break
and
it
so
up.
I'm kind of breaking it. And then she came over and did something different where it immediately just flowed beautifully. Mm. It was, I'm not sure
what
she
did. Were
you
doing a total bottle inversion? Like, was it totally upside down?
I tried a couple of things. I'm an idiot. Yeah. It didn't work. The fact is that it holds up. You can keep it in your freezer for a long time and then bust it out. And it's fantastic. And with just a tiny little topper on it, it made for a and we were out on the patio in warm
beautiful.
Weather. May is the month down here. May yeah. is when I start to come alive down here. May is when they all start to go back
home.
Oh, the car carriers are down here, and it is just blissful. You just see them, and it's just like, yep, I know it's too hot for you. Not too hot for me. Not too hot for me.
I was see scared you're going to stay. Go back home.
Go home.
More and more of them are staying, though.
Some of them are staying underground.
They say, and then they will surface every 17 years. Just like the good doctor. Was that, by the way, if you didn't get a chance to see yesterday's Mike O'Mara Show video presentation, I really, really, really would enthusiastically urge you to go back and look at it, because we got a doctor, a professor, not only who was brilliant.
Dr. Kritsky.
Dr. Kritsky, a font of information, but I am not. I said to my wife heard it and loved the show. She said, I love the cicada part. I said, yeah, anybody that's ever been around cicadas probably enjoyed that. He was a wonderful entomologist and great to talk to. But he was a college professor right out of Central Casting.
Mm-hmm.
It was as soon as I saw him, I had to stop. I hope I didn't embarrass him when I said, whoa, look at you.
No, he's
Mr.
into it.
Professor.
He looked great. He's into it. He liked
it.
Oh,
he's the guy. I like professors that look like professors.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? I liked having when you'd go into a class and you'd have a guy that looked like an academic.
Yeah. But that gentleman could, I've seen guys just like that are struggling musicians.
Oh yes, oh yes,
and
I've seen guys like that, minus the sport coat, right down mm-hmm. here in Florida, that are riding a bicycle to to their
the
bench.
Clinic.
To Oscar's point,
the
I bet
or their bench. Wherever
to Oscar's point, I bet the professor has an acoustic guitar. That would be my guess. I think he would sometimes play and sing.
But he plays. Like, he plays folk songs.
I gave my love a cherry.
To everything, turn. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Everybody, just the ladies.
So it was. But I mean, I thought that I was. I get credit. I get credit for having two margaritas on Cinco de Mayo, and I.
You celebrated the victory over the French at the Battle of Puebla.
Do you remember that?
I did. Yes.
That's awesome. That's
how
that's
is your
really
freezer?
Fantastic.
Because I know that you had ice maker trouble, but you don't need ice if you have the.
I'm a Whirlpool guy, like you recommended. Now.
Oh, good, because I got I got a kitchen gadget that I have to highly recommend. I went through Target on our website, and we discussed this at the beginning of the pandemic. I am the Dr. Fauci of refrigerators, because mm-hmm. I'm constantly checking the temp of my refrigerator.
Can I tell you something? Can I ask you something? And this is just because this is a new fun exercise for me in ball busting on you. You said you went through Target on our website. Did you really, or did you go to Costco where you really go?
No, I got this through the mail through Target.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Because this is a specified thing that I couldn't get at Costco. Had I seen it at Costco, I would have grabbed it. But what happens is I wanted to get something very specific, so I started searching for it. I want to know the temperature of my freezer and my refrigerator at all times, particularly the one in the garage, because an outside garage fridge has issues to deal with because of the variance in the temperature mm-hmm. outside, right? I mean, it's sort of inside, but it's not really. And I always feel that when you open the door, you're going to get sort of a skewed reading because hot air is going to go in. So my solution about a year ago.
By the way, something.
Yeah. What?
Why you care?
Because you don't want your food to spoil and you want your beer to be the right temperature. You want the temperature to be right. You don't want
it
to turn.
Wait a minute. If you have a refrigerator freezer in your garage,
right.
Isn't that going to compensate for whatever exterior temperature there is in the garage?
It can sometimes, if it gets way hot and it overworks, it can freeze up. And if your coils freeze, or if, God forbid, your kids don't close the fridge or the freezer all the way, it's going to frost
up. In the garage?
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you have lazy, inconsiderate children, they can ruin the food.
Soon to be, you're going to be an empty nester soon.
Very
soon. You better be careful about the way you refer to your, although Julia's not going anywhere, right?
Oh, I mean, she's moved. No, she's already packed. She's already signed a lease. She's moving July 1st.
So she's going down to Richmond, mm-hmm. and
she
Robert's
going
to be going to West Virginia.
Exactly.
And then, well, finish your, I'll ask about that in a second.
All right.
But finish your freezer.
So as the Dr. Fauci of refrigerators, what I was using was an instant read thermometer. I thought that was the best way to do it, but you still had to open the door. So what I found through Target is a thermometer that has two wireless sensors that go in your freezer, one in your freezer, one in your fridge, and then a magnetic unit on the front of your refrigerator that gives you a digital readout of the temperature at all times.
That would be like a digital meat thermometer
exactly.
that has the little wire going up. But I'm curious why that reading would be. Can't you kind of just guess it?
Look a by, few degrees off. What does that matter?
As you know, I am a licensed restaurateur and kitchen operator in the state of Maryland, and I know that if your refrigerator exceeds 40 degrees, your food is at risk.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so with your refrigerator, what do you have in the garage?
It's a General Electric.
A GE. Yes. It sounds like you banished that refrigerator to the garage. You don't seem happy when you said.
Well, it's General okay. Well, General Electric is. You know what it is? It's fine. It's fine. It's a nice.
It's a
contractor
big bowl of okay.
grade. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's
contractor
old.
Grade.
Contractor right, grade. And you know what? You don't need anything fancy. It's not got an ice maker hooked up or a water dispenser hooked up. It's just a chill chest.
Have you had experiences before where the refrigerator in the garage? Was problematic
yes.
regarding food storage.
Yes, absolutely.
Please do explain.
Well, what happens is occasionally if it's left ajar or not all the way shut, it can't cool. The compressor works too hard and the coils freeze.
Is it a difficult, like some of them are, is it a problematic refrigerator to like shut? Like, for example, the Whirlpool, I think I could just let go of it and it automatically goes
I
to
know
the
what
shut
you mean.
Position.
Yeah, it doesn't have that
is
sort of...
Is your GE a problem where you got to make sure
you have to
the
shut it.
Seal...
Yeah, yeah you have yeah. to make sure it's
And there's
shut
another activity where the advice would be don't break the seal.
Mm-hmm.
That can also involve a thermometer, Mike.
I have a question, Mike, if you don't mind
yes,
for Rob.
Go yeah. ahead.
Is this level of vigilance, which is very impressive, at all... I guess, do you bring it anywhere else into your life?
Because well, Oscar, you know like me, and ops is obviously the answer you want is no.
No, I'm not talking. Look, with your work, we do great work here. I'm talking about anywhere else outside of something to do with food.
I don't know. As far as like constant monitoring of temperature,
yes. no. Outside of like your glucose level.
Probably not. Like that. Probably not.
Two things no. I want to say here, mm-hmm. okay?
But anyway, I recommend this product greatly. It's fantastic.
Number one, if you're a new listener to the show and you're tuning in right now, yes. This is what it is. So if you're not, if your expectations were higher, move along. Number two, fruitcake eaters, listen to this attention to food storage and safety.
Oh, absolutely.
This is the guy that yeah. makes your fruitcakes. I'm very happy with this. This doesn't bother me. I'm not going to bust your chops on this till we get to the empty nest syndrome.
Okay, so Mike, you want your fridge to be between 32 and 40, no higher than 40, and you want your freezer to be sub-zero. And right this morning, I was at 39 degrees and minus 4.2 degrees. I love looking at it.
If I have no problem with the seal, do I don't need to bother with this.
No, especially, no, not really. Especially for an indoor refrigerator and a new refrigerator.
No, I have one in the crappy one I banished to the garage like you did.
Oh, then you need to have at least an analog thermometer inside it just to check. Are you keeping spoilables in there? Are you keeping perishables in there or just like drinks?
Spoilables. That's the new. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a new commercial coming up this week. Which one of your favorite restaurateurs, speaking of spoilables. Yeah, I've got shrimp in the freezer.
Oh, well, then you need to have, Mike, you can for a couple bucks buy just an analog thermometer.
I can undo the little drawer and reach in, and if the shrimp is hard as a rock, I know it's frozen.
Well, okay, if you want to take that risk, but what if it were to melt down overnight and refreeze? You know, you got to check it. You got to check it. I check it every day.
Maybe. Did you have a traumatic experience as a child with spoilables?
I never did, no.
Okay.
No.
But I mentioned yesterday on the show, I had the spoilable turkey meat mm-hmm. that's in there. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and get that.
Yeah,
I'm going to show you that.
Is it
because
still
that's
in
still,
there?
I don't think Carla's taken that. Yeah. Mm. We're waiting to take it back, but we're not going to just leave it on the counter.
Take it back in a paper nice. Bag.
Yes, we
and it's
half
a hassle.
Of this
and if you
turkey.
And Oscar, the thing you got to know is that if you do have the thing where the coils freeze up, and another thing is if it's an outdoor, I'm sorry, a garage refrigerator, sometimes your coils get dusty because you're not, you know, it's not as clean.
This happens all the time in my parents' house in the garage. Like, they'll freeze over, it'll do 20 different things, but I know my mom's just not as vigilant as you would be about the temperature.
I hate having to like take everything out and defrost it. Oh, there it is. So that it was a multi-pack, obviously.
I don't want to get like in trouble, so I won't show you the brand. But
yeah, it looks like a.
You know what?
Suspect packaging.
It does look like it's sort of a meat paste.
It doesn't do it justice on camera. I shouldn't have brought it in here.
Looks like a lot of bubble gum on camera.
Farm to family.
Yeah.
Smelling like ass. Thank you.
Smells like a farm. Is it frozen currently or refrigerated?
I got 3 1-pound pouches. And there it is.
Is that frozen that we were looking at or refrigerated?
Well, now it's refrigerated, but it says use one, freeze one.
Thanks.
Jay!
You know what you say to advice like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so that, congratulations.
Thank you. It's a great. I recommend it. Yeah. And keep your food fresh.
How much does something like that set you back?
It was on sale. I think it was like $19.
Oh, pretty
good. So have you, because we haven't done one of our cocktail party shows, and we'll remedy that now that I'm a hooch
let's
again.
You're back,
that.
Baby.
We'll let Oscar pick a date.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
I hope he picks Shannon.
This is, you know, the empty nest. Have you and your bride discussed the empty nest thing that's coming up where it's just going to be the two of you now?
Yeah, I mean, we have, and it's a very, very strange feeling. We've got friends that their marriage has definitely changed once they get all their kids out of the house, and that is our common bond for the last 20 years or so, is that, you know, raising, taking care of the kids, and they'll still be a concern, but they'll be out of that, both of them out of the house. It's going to be very, very strange.
My mom and dad, for me, it was, there were two things made very clear, that if I went to an institution of higher learning, which was paid for, God rest her soul, by my father's sister, paid for 7 children, half of their college education, which is, I will never be able to quite adequately thank her for that, my Aunt Mary, who did that. But it was made indelibly clear to, I think, both my sister and me that once you were gone off to college, the, you know, visits were encouraged, but you were also told you're not coming back. Your life begins. And for my mom and dad, I think when I was out of the house, it was party time. It was do what they wanted to do. So, you know, they were kind of looking forward to it. You know, they were done.
Yeah.
They were done with the day-to-day drudgery of child rearing, and that was it. I was wondering if it's the same in your world.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to not having tremendous buildup of dishes and food and stuff. They're not very clean kids, and I have
the
to
day to day things.
The day to day stuff.
They're not very, so they're messy kids.
A little bit, yeah. Robert more than Julia, but the weird thing is that I think that when Julia goes down to Richmond in July, that's it for her. I think she's out of the house because she's actually put a lease on an apartment, and she's been buying furniture and all of those things. I think that she will continue to live outside the house from now on. And that is heartbreaking to me. That's really, really sad. For Robert, he's going, of course, to the very boxy Bennett Tower. Oscar will tell you it is the height of luxury.
It's perfect, though. It's perfect because to me, when I heard that and when I heard both of you describing that, I envisioned my first freshman year in college.
A lot of concrete.
I was in a real dorm, a high-rise dorm, which was just fun and just
he's going to do great.
You're too dumb at 18 to know, you know, that you're living like a, you know, in an institution.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true.
Exactly.
You're in a high rise that's got rooms, not apartments.
Yes. I'm sure he will be back. I think he's going to be the kind of guy that does campus housing for all 4 years that he's down there, and we'll have him on the summers and stuff. And I think
he'll tell him no. See, after the 2 years,
he'll have to move out.
He ought to
There's not enough
wings.
Campus housing to still stay on campus.
If he was an RA, there would be.
Then
which
mind.
Is something that he thought about.
He digs it now. Did he say that to you? Because he probably digs it now. You didn't stay in campus housing your whole run.
2 years I did campus housing.
I did 2 years too.
Yeah, and then I went to Parkwood Avenue where you want to pull the shades because otherwise, you know, the gunshots.
Okay. Rob's school was very near a very
VCU was a little different 30 years ago. Yeah, it was a little different.
So, yeah, I hopped around to a lot of different because I went to 2 colleges, so I jumped around to a lot of different things. And then when I was at my first college with Bill O'Reilly, Marist College,
yes,
I lived in a regular dorm, a stinky, nasty guy's dorm that was just like, and I got out. In my sophomore year, had an opportunity to move into an on-campus little house. They were dorm houses. They were beautiful little kiosk-y kind of houses in the round where they were two floors. And they had dorm rooms in them. And
okay.
One of the girls that Marist College had absorbed a fashion design program at, I believe, Bennett College, because Bennett had gone under. And so we had the fashion design girls in the dorm next door.
Is that when you climbed up on the ladder? Like Bluto? You know,
like Bluto. Excuse me, is Mandy Pepperidge here? May I speak to Mandy Pepperidge, please? And then I was in the by the way, the Bennett girls left, and then the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity moved in, and that's when they adopted me a little bit, and that's another story. But I was in a group house with terrible roommates. When I got to this was in one semester, my second year in this dorm. I had terrible experiences with roommates. Just terrible. I had Birdman. I had Mike Chacho.
Hold it. Why Birdman?
Got up
why
doing
Birdman?
His curls at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, "You're a 19-year-old kid. What are you doing curls at 6 o'clock in the morning? This is sleep time."
Why was he called?
I said, "I have 12 more hours of sleep than I need." What's that?
Why was he called Birdman? This other guy.
Birdman was because he had hung out of one of the high-rise dorms because he wasn't quite right.
Okay.
And he had tied a bedsheet to himself, and he had swung outside of the seventh floor going, "I'm a bird," almost killing himself. Like, went in for treatment after that, and they let him back out. And then
O'Mara.
I've told this story before. And Birdman was back in the dorms, and then he got somehow transferred over to my house, which I think was called Gregory House. It was called Gregory House.
Isn't that the name of the doctor?
Named after Gregory Peck. Doctor, what do you mean?
I think Greg House was the name of the doctor on the show House.
I have no idea. But it was great. And our RA, and I don't remember all the names here, big tall guy, basketball player, was our RA.
Bill Walton.
And he called me because once I had a bad relationship with my roommate, Mike Chacho, Chacho left and went somewhere else. And then there were, for about 2 weeks or so, there were two or maybe three of us that were living solo in the dorms. Great. Could have dealt with that arrangement.
Yeah, you say a lot of room, huh?
Oh, that's a convenient arrangement, man, for a variety of reasons.
Oh, God.
It was spectacular.
Yeah.
There was an awakening on my part. But that's another story. I can digress in 20 different directions. So the RA comes out sheepishly and says, "I need to see bump, 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 the two guys that have solo rooms. Is you're getting a roommate. One of you is going to get a roommate, but I have straws here." I'm like, "What the hell is going on?" He said, "Birdman is coming to Gregory House."
Yeah.
And I'm like, and we both knew his reputation.
How great is it that even the RA that's having to serve as sort of the figurehead is calling this guy Birdman?
By the way, Birdman looked like a Marx brother. He did. He had wild black curly hair, big shock of curly hair, and he had like a little kind of black mustache. That was the look.
It
was always smiling. Like for example, I'd give you, to communicate this, I would give you, Oscar, ask me how I am, and I'll answer like Birdman would answer, okay? All right?
Hey, Birdman, how are you today?
I'm good. anyway, so that's
like,
okay.
He was up to no good at all times.
Just like something going.
Something's off.
Thank you. Thank you. No direct eye contact. You know. Thank you. How are you? Okay, so it was like, but it was more of a high voice like this. So I got the short straw.
Oh.
And Birdman was going to come into Gregory House, and it was, I was scared. I was legitimately scared. I didn't know what was going on. So. I lasted two nights with Birdman as my roommate. The first night we turn in, the dorm was configured that I had like a bunk bed with a desk underneath it.
Like
and
a
Birdman,
loft, yeah.
And then Birdman had a bed against the window. A lot of dorms are configured that way.
Yeah.
The first night, roughly 2 a.m., I'm in a deep sleep, and I awaken to hear Birdman having a complete conversation with himself.
Oh, all right. No.
And this is what I heard. I didn't hear the details of it, but I heard, 20 pounds. That's the way. And if you want to talk about terror, you've heard the reputation of this guy.
Yeah.
And you wake up and you're hearing this full-fledged conversation over by the window. All right. So I think I mentioned it to my RA. I said, dude. He said, just hang in there. We'll see what we can do about making another arrangement.
It's only been 24 hours, Mr. O'Mara.
He was beautiful. I mean, he did such a great job. He was a great RA. I remember he was an RA that had a lot of things on his plate.
Sure.
And really handled it. Most RAs are just dicks.
Yep.
Right?
He did nothing.
But the thing is, so the next night, so I go one night, in deference to my friend who was the RA, I said, okay, I'll go. And the next night, I awaken roughly the same time, and I'm hearing this.
Oh no.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Right?
And I'm like, I said something at this point. I said, Birdman, no, don't do
like
that.
A like dog. A dog. Oh,
like,
no.
Like a dog.
Bad bird. And that, bad bird.
And the next morning, other arrangements were made. And, I don't know whether Chacho was before him or after that, but he was the guy that liked anchovies on his pizza, which was, when you have a roommate, they bleed into your pizza. And he also seriously used to work out. He had a big gold chain. He had that. It was back in the day of the mustache. Everybody had mustaches.
Sure.
And he'd be doing the. This is the late 1970s. That's how long ago it was. That's how old I am. But it was a weird, weird time.
At least we know what Birdman was talking about on the first night. He was talking himself into what to do on the second night.
Well, it was not cool. It was not cool.
That's not okay. Yeah. Bad Birdman.
That's just not cool in a dorm room. I'm sorry. I mean, you have self-control just like you're in your own private home.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Mm. You do that on your own time, Mr. Spaghetti.
Own time.
That's what you do that. It was very, very, very disturbing. And then at the end of my sophomore year, I transferred out anyway. I was done. I was not
group
a
fit home.
For that particular for that, but I mean, I was living. I remember when I got Gregory House. It was the I was like one of the few sophomores that was there.
Luck?
It was a luck of the draw thing. There was a drawing, and that you put in for it, and you got it. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm going to be a sophomore in college, and I get to go to this like perfect on the other side of campus, closer to the Frank's Bar, which was great for me, walking distance, Frank's Bar, 25 cent drafts. That's how old I am. When you could put down 25 or 50 cents for a draft of beer, a little glass of beer that you'd have at Frank's.
Yeah, but this is on a regular basis or specials?
It was wonderful. No, it was the regular part. The
oh,
price.
My God.
Oh, okay, because there was quarter specials.
It was a hole-in-the-wall bar that was right off the main drag on the way out there. And then, of course, if you went across town in Poughkeepsie, you got to Vassar, which was the elite.
Used to be a girls' college. Yeah.
Well, we'd go over a couple of nights, during a semester, and, we stuck out like we were Marist guys. And it was obvious. It's like we were the idiots. Here comes some idiots. We didn't look. There was nothing Ivy League about any of us. That's the way it goes. But it was fun.
There was a quarter beer special at the Psychedeli that if we timed our break in Com Law, we could hit. But it was never good to go back to Com Law after you pounded like six beers. Because you laughed at the wrong stuff.
That's communications law that Rob's talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Mm. Communications law. So it was fun. But happy sunny days. For some reason, May just makes me wax nostalgic about the old days. And at Marist College, I had some. Someday I'm going to go back there and see what it looks like because it's been so long. I've never been back. Mm-hmm. I've never been back.
Despite
to,
all the
to
invitations.
Area. You know what? They forgot me completely because I transferred out.
They don't even hit you up for donations?
Well, I think American University has forgotten me now, too. No. I'm not a good alumnus like
he's
my
moved
friend Rob Johnson,
again.
Who was president of the Alumni Association. No, I just, they weren't that good to me where I wanted to be involved after the fact. That's not the way it goes. So,
yeah.
But I hope that, both of you are involved. I know Oscar's involved in his master's.
Business.
Well, I have not. I've not donated any money, but I've sent them a student. I think that's pretty good.
You know what?
Here's my child.
Is done. Your job is done. And Birdman, if you're still alive, I hope you've straightened up and flown right. Well, maybe that was the wrong term.
What are the odds? What odds do you give on him being alive?
I think that guys like that live for a long time. Guys like that live for a long time. All right. And if you want to know why, it's because of this. Keeps you young, Rob Spiewak.
Self-sufficient.
Keeps you young. Yeah, that's it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing a show. We have to take a break, and when we come back, it is the home page.
Yes.
It will fascinate you when we come back right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. No, it really won't. There's really nothing in there that's anything special. But you'll enjoy it, I hope. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, I'm Luke Bryan.
Hi, America, this is Luke Bryan, and I won't be satisfied till I get every one of your redneck dollars in my wallet.
I'm here with Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and he wears real tiny little jackets.
This is going to work, bro. I mean, this is going to be good. Right?
I make my own beer. It tastes like...
Take it from country music doofus Luke Bryan.
Hi, this is Luke Bryan.
And I never shave my neck.
From shiny new licorice hats to red Solo cups.
I've got goose flesh.
The Mike O'Mara Shopping Center has got you covered for all your hillbilly shopping needs.
Holy!
Just click the shopping center banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Ain't that right, Luke?
That dang old internet, man. Click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's a scary stat. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. My neighbor, who I was talking to just the other day, is in the middle of dealing with this right now, and it is a nightmare. 23% of those people don't get their money back after the attack. You could be the next victim. Aura, A-U-R-A, can help. Aura provides digital security protection from online threats. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. You got to realize, there are people that do this for a living. They're out there trying to get you every single day. With Aura, you get alerted to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. Aura is easy to set up. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-backed customer support that's got your back. Aura is a new type of security service that protects all of your online information and devices with one simple subscription, keeps you in control, and guides you through solving any issues. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 months free when you visit aura.com/TMOS. Go to aura.com/TMOS to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/TMOS. Do it today. You will be glad you did. And now, without further ado, let's get right to the home page.
Corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the home page.
Home page. Hey, everybody. Hey, you might want to ask yourself the question, what are moms looking for this Mother's Day? What moms want? What do moms want, huh?
Mother. Mother. Yeah. Hey, mother.
Okay. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to Wink News. So it's Mother's Day. Just around the corner. a card. 43% of moms say they just love to get one. That doesn't mean they'll be thrilled with just a card, especially if they're a little bitchy. But in general, moms like getting cards.
Is that what John Tesh said? That you got to go more
than a card? Moms like cards. 43% of mothers say they'd like a card, and really not. Now, he'd say, and really they don't need anything else but your love.
I was hoping that he said that. They might want more if they're bitchy.
If you're listening to my show and you'd like to know about Mother's Day, John Tesh has a message for you.
What do I do?
What do I do?
I'm John Tesh, everybody.
What do I do?
God. Mother's Day. Flowers. Flowers. Flowers come in at number two. Doing something with the family, like dinner or going somewhere outdoors. You know, we always talk about Father's Day gets short shrift on this, but Mother's Day, they have these lists. A keepsake at number four.
A keepsake. A keepsake.
Mother's Day, I can't. I've been mocking Mother's Day for my entire radio career. I'm sorry.
I think, you know, as we're getting out of the pandemic, my mom would just, she'd rather get a Pandora bracelet and us not visit because she doesn't want to see anybody right now.
That's Oscar throwing a sponsor in there. Good for you. Let's see.
Now Mike, you've just abbreviated it to the noise.
A keepsake from Pandora, say something sentimental, like a frame photo that's engraved.
Getting shorter.
How about chocolate?
something homemade, especially homemade moms chocolate? With younger kids. Homemade chocolate, yeah. Haven't made that yet today. A spa day or a massage. That's up there. Hey, Pandora Jewelry, Oscar Santana.
Nice.
Or jewelry. It's
yeah, nice. I felt so I awkward giving my mom a massage, though.
Here, wear this. Would you like firm or soft?
That's right, medium pressure. And homemade chocolates.
Hey, this is where they match up with dads. A day to themselves.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, put them in the park. Let them run.
I was
dig.
Such a bad father yesterday. I got home from doing what I do, you know, every chance I get. And so I'd had the day to myself. Uh-huh. And Carla's working and I'm playing sometimes. And so I don't, you know, we don't have the formal sit down dinner. So if there's something in the fridge, like the place, the chicken bowl from the Japanese restaurant we like so bad, I'll throw it in the microwave. And she's got three or four. The only thing I can't take is her last one. Then I'll get in trouble. But if she's not home and I get home, so I get in. This takes, for whatever reason, a long time to reheat. And so I put it in the microwave for about 3 minutes. And then I get it. I got to stir it. Then I got to put the yum-yum sauce on it.
Sure.
Then I stir the thing, and then I transfer it into the bowl, and I stir it a little bit more. Then I get my little drinky-poo. So I've got my little cup that is next to me, and I sit down, and you know, I get in my my chair, my special Archie Bunker chair. I put my feet up, put the food on my lap, and I pop on CNN, and I'm sitting there, and I literally put the spoon in for my first bite, and the door opens up, and
Oh, no.
And I guess I did not show the proper amount of joy that my family was coming home at the end of a day when I haven't seen either one of them.
What'd you say?
Because it was mealtime. Yeah. I didn't say anything. I just was like, what? And I reminded myself of Buzz a little bit, you know, where I was just like, just sitting down to have my first bite of food.
Yeah.
You know, I was a little passive aggressive, and it was an a-hole thing to do.
I don't even have time to mow my lawn.
So
wrong
anyway,
house?
And then Carla looked at me, came right over to my right ear and went.
You're being a
let's
dick.
See. For some, moms want, at number 10, someone else to take care of all the household tasks they normally do. Fine.
Yeah.
1 in 7 moms said breakfast in bed would also be great. 12% want clothes. And 1 in 8 said some booze would be appreciated. Now, that's my kind of mom right there.
There will be mimosas for Mother's Day in our house. Absolutely.
That's sweet. That's nice. very, very wonderful. A Chinese translator who works for Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is denying that she had anything to do with breaking them up.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Her name is Shelley Wang, and she's worked for the foundation.
I looked this up.
Since 2015, there have been rumors that she had more than a professional relationship with either Bill or Melinda.
Oh, wow.
On Chinese social media, she said, quote, I thought that the rumors would go away by themselves, but I did not expect the rumors to become more and more crazily spread. Quote, I would like to thank everyone for their concern and help in dispelling the rumors through private messages in the past 24 hours. Another interesting twist that's come up since they announced their split is that Bill had an arrangement with Melinda that allowed him to vacation every year at a beach cottage in North Carolina with the woman he was dating before he met Melinda.
Well, if he vacations every year, that's expensive.
Thank you, Ralph. But this is not something they ever hid from the public, and there's no evidence they're anything but friends. It's still weird.
Yeah.
My wife wouldn't dig it.
No.
You know, go away. The other woman is married to the brother of actor Kevin Kline. So and that, of course, is Junior Kline. Sorry. That's a real local.
Great band.
That's a real local Junior Kline and the Recliners. Is he still with us?
Let me check. I'll see.
Find out. I thought he might have passed. Anyway, so that's that. We'll see if the Chinese translator.
It took a day. It took 1 day. 1 day for these rumors to come out and figure out who's doing what.
The Chinese translator.
And she moved her whole family to an island. They're all. Melinda Gates is living on an island right now to avoid the paparazzi.
Kind of tough, and we'll probably find out more about Ms. Wang. For an upcoming movie called Stew, Mark Wahlberg, I got all of this because it was fascinating to me. He's gained 20 pounds in 3 weeks, and he's trying to pack on another 10. How's he doing it? He enlisted the help of a personal chef named Lawrence Duran, who's feeding him 7,000 calories a day. That's three times more than the average American eats. But Lawrence would like you to know that he's not stuffing Mark's face with junk. They enlisted doctors and nutritionists to make sure he's not killing himself. His day starts around 3 a.m., 4 eggs followed by a workout, then 8 eggs, 6 strips of bacon, a cup of rice, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and a protein shake. Moving right along. Number 3, some kind of ground beef or ground turkey, either a burger or patty or a meatloaf, plus another cup of rice. He still sounds like he's not eating complex carbohydrates.
You know what he should be eating is homemade chocolate.
Half a roasted chicken, number 4. This is his 4th meal. Half a roasted chicken, another cup of rice, a cup of cooked spinach, and a cup of cooked beets. Well, that doesn't sound
How's he gaining weight? It sounds like a normal, healthy meal.
Yeah, I think it's the amount.
8 meals a day. Yeah. An 8-ounce veal chop or pork chop, a 4-ounce, I'm just going to mention them all.
Please.
A 4-ounce piece of salmon, cup of rice, 8 ounces some kind of steak, 8 ounces some kind of whitefish, and tons of vegetables. The nightcap, a mash consisting of one cup of cooked steel-cut oatmeal, 2 tablespoons of applesauce, 2 tablespoons of jelly or jam, 2 tablespoons of almond butter, and a tablespoon of molasses.
I'm
going to try that tonight. It sounds good to me.
Don't
that
you think Ben and Jerry's would be a better way to pack on the weight?
Well, it More would fun. Seem to me if yeah. you want to do that.
And a Junior Klein appears to be alive, Mike, according to his website.
What's that?
Junior Klein appears to be alive, according to his
Great
website.
Band. Yeah. He also has a cheat day over the weekend where he'll hit up his favorite restaurant and have, quote, pastas or pizza or cookies. So he's going to be fat in his next
He
project.
Gets to go to his favorite restaurant and have all the breadsticks he wants.
There is a woman named Beta Golshani in L.A. She just tweeted out a picture of a question she got in an online job interview. She wrote, quote, "This is definitely the most bizarre question I have ever seen on a job application. The question is, quote, you've been given an elephant. You can't give it away or sell it. What do you do? What would you do with the elephant?" We don't know what the job was or how Beta answered, but her tweet is going viral and people are throwing in their own ideas. One person said they once took a course on how to respond to interview questions, and there is actually a correct answer.
Really?
So I throw it to you. The interview question is, you can't give it away or sell it. What would you do with an elephant?
I would figure out a way to expose it to children so children could enjoy the elephant.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's sweet, but unfortunately that is not the correct answer.
Damn
that's
it.
A little loud. Let me turn that down. My apologies.
Well, it was really Sorry wrong. I was probably right.
All right. Oscar, do you have the answer?
Mike, I'd start an Etsy's page and have glossies made and have the elephant autograph them with his hoof and then sell those
it's
online.
It's not really a hoof.
Hold on. You said sell those online.
Yeah.
Open a business where you hire the elephant out for events is the number one answer. That's it. Mine were wrong, too. I said start a manure business or ride it to work. Neither one of those.
Manure for days!
Neither one was correct.
Everything grows so well.
And now a little something. There's a 28-year-old woman named Blair Whitten from Barnesville, Minnesota, and she was arrested on Saturday for getting the final piece of revenge on her ex-boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend had passed away, unfortunately, and Blair drove to the cemetery in Fargo, North Dakota, and she started speeding around to interrupt the funeral. So she is driving to a cemetery and driving around the funeral ceremony at the cemetery. Her ex's father said they didn't want Blair at the funeral. And when she was driving her SUV around, she almost hit some people who tried to get her to leave. The police came and she was arrested for reckless endangerment. As we all know, revenge is best served cold. And or stiff in this particular case. So she did that. That's a pissed off lady. Hell
that
has
is.
No
oh,
fury
I bet.
When
I
you
bet.
Show up at the funeral because you're that pissed
and
off.
And worst of all, she was wearing white.
I don't know. We will take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, good.
Great.
Tonight, after an all-new Fall Guy, there's a man on the mean streets of West South Florida who won't put up with his lady being hassled.
I don't like my lady being hassled.
I said that. And when it comes to keeping cars on the street, this guy takes matters into his own hands.
The car just could not pull into the driveway. I had to park on the street.
Mike O'Mara is on the case, and he lives life on his own terms.
We all control the street.
It's the O'Mara Files. Watch it along with the Mike O'Mara Show on your favorite platform, YouTube, Instagram, and at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And remember,
I love cigars. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim Amato. We appreciate that. Oh, I wish you could see my lawn down here in Florida. All of my neighbors are jealous of my yard. All the neighbors are jealous of my yard. They are. Lush and green, no brown spots. Thanks to Sunday. What is Sunday? I'll tell you. We'll go ahead. We'll stop dawdling. Sunday is more than just a yard care product. It's a custom lawn care plan with a variety of ways to help you grow a beautiful lawn, control weeds, and remove pests. They take out all of the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for everybody. I just went to GetSunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest. They actually see your lawn from a satellite picture. Mm-hmm. They check the zip code, and they get a soil analysis of what you're doing and where you're living. It's just complicated for them, perhaps, but I don't. All I know is the lawn looks
it's
great.
It's specialized, yeah.
They do it in seconds. Sunday explains exactly what you need and why. Everything's waiting at your door when you need it. All I had to do is attach a ready-to-use pouch that you put right on the end of a garden hose, and then you water your lawn. That's it. And then green, green, green. Takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, this stuff really works, and my grass looks better than ever. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/TMOS to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS. Yesterday, one of you guys was talking, I think Rob, about the movie Catch Me If You Can.
Oscar brought it up.
Leonardo.
But I had seen the article as well. But I liked Oscar to lead this because
so Oscar, this really one of my favorite movies.
It's a great film.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, where he plays the forger, the famous forger, mm-hmm. Frank Abagnale, as a kid who apparently pretended he was an airline pilot, pretended he was a doctor, pretended he was a lawyer.
An FBI
got away
agent.
With it. Yeah. Yeah, forged all these payroll checks from Pan Am. You roll in yesterday and said that was all BS, that this is not true at all.
Well, the movie is so well made. And then at the end of the movie, even if you didn't grow up during that era, you see all of these, this happens for a lot of movies that are based supposedly on a true story. You will see Frank on The Tonight Show.
Right.
You'll see him on To Tell the Truth. These national television shows.
Yeah,
after
deal.
His era, right? After he's essentially gone straight and now is working against counterfeiters around the world. And you're like, wow, I can't believe this kid lived this wild life. And it's now made into a movie. And it's not just C-level actors. This is an A-list cast, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and the story about him helping the FBI and that he was brought in to help them crack the cases of these amazing forgers, and that he was just this elaborate criminal that did amazing things, never hurt anybody. Outside of people that, lost money, in that. But as far as never, he would travel the world. He'd pretend he was a pilot. He was just, it was stunning. And now you're saying he made it up?
So, yes. There's a new book that is now available, The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Catching Truth While We Can. It's by Alan Logan. And Alan Logan, like most people, when you see these stories, is one of many reporters and writers over the years that have found holes within Frank Abagnale's story. And I know this is shocking, but it's probably a lot easier to get away with, pre-social media, where you could tell stories, and over years, stories become almost
accepted,
but also they become larger than life.
Right.
And he chronicles all of Frank's I would say not assumptions, but his claim to fame as other stories based on truth. For example, the Pan Am situation. He says that Frank never actually flew around the country and pretended to be a pilot. Frank ended up pretending to be a member of the airline, a staff member, but was doing so in some respects, stalked a young lady around the country that he wanted to date.
Creepy, a very creepy element to this story.
Ended up meeting her parents in Baton Rouge, so some overlap to Catch Me If You Can.
Right.
And then essentially went to dinner with the young lady against her will because she thought it was a little creepy. She goes, I'm going to go see my parents, trying to get out of it. And he goes, I'll come along. Goes and meets her parents. Then she leaves for another flight. He circles back to the parents and says, remember me? I work for Pan Am with your daughter. I'm coming up on hard times. Do you mind if I stay with you? Stays with the parents.
And to make it even creepier, Mike, they put him in her bedroom.
Yes.
It's totally different where he's pretending he's a doctor,
right,
and a lawyer.
Married, and he wants to be, become into law firm.
So the little candy striper nurse, he actually stalked this girl.
Stalked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then you come back around, and one of Frank's codes where he never stole from just regular people. He stole from the man.
Corporations.
He stole from the airline. He stole from the hotel. No, he ended up grifting this poor family because he was taking them out to dinner with their own checkbooks that they didn't realize were hacked.
That's awesome.
So this guy...
I mean, I'm sorry, that's not awesome, but it's just amazing.
It's another layer to the story. And I think it's even more striking to both us, but all of us, because the movie is so beloved. But would the movie be so beloved if you knew it was just a crock?
And this guy... Doesn't it
also bring home the capacity we have as Americans to be conned?
Of course.
Just the story that we just take hook, line, and sinker. Did anybody ever give it a second thought? You know, that, this guy might have really done this.
You're probably wondering, well, Oscar, why didn't anybody say anything? Why didn't this family pipe up about who this guy actually was? Because as your fame rises, you get more exposure, even pre-internet days. Mm-hmm. So, people would call newspapers and say, this guy on television, this guy on Carson, he's the guy who stole our $1,200 from him. He's the guy that grifted this other family. He's the guy. And so local newspapers and some would write articles about this guy on television.
Yeah.
But
interesting when you really think about this, if you really want to break it down and you go back and look at the movie, where does most of his money come from? Most of his money comes from a massive airline that is no longer in business.
Yes.
You know, how convenient is that for the storyline?
And
you know?
Some of these, and within the book, they go back and find Pan Am executives to see if Frank Abagnale actually stole $21 million worth of Pan Am forged checks.
Yeah. There was
they can't find the record. They can't find the record.
And there was a quote from a Pan Am guy that said, we feel that a shortage of $21 million would have been spotted.
So they're saying now his greatest con may have been his story for Catch Me If You Can. That was the biggest grift.
This guy continues to grift because, as you probably are not shocked by, he's on a zillion panels because people want to have him as a panelist.
As a security expert, mm-hmm. right?
Or security expert, but also he'll go and speak at premier prestigious universities. And when you really sit down into his latest interviews, if you look on YouTube, he's an older gentleman, but he's making stories up even today about where he is chronicled and how is he respected. An FBI just put out this 100 best sources or something like that, like a coffee table book. And he talks about the book, and the book does exist. But he's nowhere in the book. But he says he's in the book. Who's going to go check? This guy did. This author did. Not in the book.
Yeah, big coffee table book.
Amazing. And, you know, for people that adore the movie like I do, because the acting is so great.
Yes.
I mean, it's just DiCaprio, who is spectacular. And Tom Hanks as the FBI. What's that?
Christopher
Walken. Yeah. Yes, he's great.
He turned it into butter.
Does it taint it for you? I can get past it. I'm pretty annoyed that this guy is just a criminal, but I'm not shocked by it.
Yeah, I guess.
What's he doing right? Do we know what he's doing right now?
Prior to the pandemic, people would pay him to come speak.
Yeah,
he's on a speaking tour.
Mm-hmm. That movie elevated him to the next level. It became, because the I remember as a kid, my folks read the book. I remember seeing the book in the 70s. So, I mean, this has been going on for a long time, but that movie absolutely elevated him to the next level. I read the article to Oscar, and there was an actual headline, I think, on the San Francisco Chronicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, a big paper. And it was something to the effect of Johnny gets fooled. It was a front page story about, you know, the Chronicle was saying that he's a fake. But, you know, newspapers were so temporary back then, and without social media and without the digital coverage, the story just went away because he kept being famous and kept talking.
And he kept on getting on Carson.
To tell the truth.
To tell the truth. So once he was on and he was a hit, the game show led to further opportunities on national TV. Later that same year, he was featured on The Today Show with Tom Brokaw. Soon after, he was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. While most people were mesmerized by the story of a con man who impersonated a pilot, a doctor, a lawyer, and a college professor, some were not as convinced. There is amazing journalism in 1978, according to this guy that's writing this article. Mm-hmm. Stephen Hall, as a rookie journalist working for the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, saw Abagnale on the Tonight Show in 78 and started to do some digging on about what this guy was all about. And it turns out that he described stealing money from a deposit drop at Logan Airport dressed as a security guard. He investigated and he debunked that story. Mm-hmm. So this guy's all of his big stories. A convict, and in the San Francisco Chronicle, the headline of this story is "A Convict Who Makes Up Crimes." Mm-hmm. That is just amazing. That is just amazing. So I guess we'll have to keep tabs on, but we won't pay attention. It won't last, right? I mean, it'll go away.
I think it's a different era now.
Yeah.
Think about it. A published newspaper, even in a major city, top four market in the country, media market in the country. That's a speed bump.
And it was,
in this
by the way, $2.5 million.
I'm sorry, 2.5.
$2.5 million in bad checks. You know, and the guy from Pan Am says the guy he thinks he's phony is a $3 bill.
Yeah.
That you know, it's this is fascinating, especially since the movie's the last thing we remember. The movie's old now. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. The Logan, the writer, writes that these articles debunking Abagnale's claims were no more than a little speed bump in his rise to fame. He was asked to come back to The Tonight Show multiple times after
Johnny
his first
loved
appearance.
Him. Johnny
Abagnale
loved him.
Abagnale went on to write a best-selling book, which was then adapted into both the Spielberg film and a Broadway play. When the movie comes out, you have major Hollywood players, blah, blah, blah. No one from the FBI has ever made a public statement about what Abagnale has or hasn't done for them. He has given some guest lectures at the Academy, but he makes these outlandish statements to the media. He's claimed to teach ethics at the FBI. He hasn't. Oh, my God.
And that's even like a soft claim, like something that's hard to look at, like ethics. I'm not teaching, you know, I'm teaching ethics. See you later.
Trying to get to the bottom of this here.
It's surreal.
It is. And he tricked us again. For many, many years. He's a
this story, the last part of this says, this story holds a lesson for the times we live in, Logan said. People should try to practice reflective thinking. They shouldn't just believe everything they hear. Are we more gullible than we've ever been? I think we are. But they should instead interrogate unlikely claims that may come their way. Because I think many people, when they step back from this story and really take a breath and really think it through, is it possible that all this happened according to the narrative? And it's just not plausible, he said. And so reflective thinking is something I think that is of extreme value to society right now.
Well, when it's handed to you, you want to believe it. You want to believe it. And I believe there's a disclaimer at the end of the movie, if I'm not mistaken, that says certain characters are composites of what happened in real life.
Yeah, right.
So, exactly. You know,
the license.
Right.
Yeah, we got to go teach some ethics.
Let's still look at the movie. It's still a nice story. Even if it was fiction, I'd be intrigued with the movie, the way that works. But if there was not a based in truth, that movie wouldn't be nearly
I guess. No, you're right.
So the rub is, Mike, you feel like you find this type of fame, you stop lying.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, if you get caught, but it doesn't matter to him. That's the way it works. No. Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll come back with Oscar's toe right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I used to be the life of the party. Toe. And so he said,
Oscar's
that's
toe.
Where I put my thermometer. But then, everything changed. I couldn't laugh, feel joy. I also couldn't maintain an erection, but that's unrelated, I guess. It was horrible until I found Lexapro Mira. Everything got good again when I subscribed to the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Listening to explicit content and hilarious insights too raunchy for the usual show got me out of my sad hole.
Subscribing to the Mike O'Mara bonus show has been said to cure ailments like male pattern baldness, gout, moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, and will expand your life by 40 plus years.
Subscribing to the bonus show is the single best thing you can do for your mental health. So do it today. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it. And I promise to never talk about my sad hole ever again.
Okay. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It all started in December of 2017. Two college friends discovered a void in the condiment category. They began exploring hot sauce.
Hot sauce!
After 2 years of testing literally hundreds of hot sauce recipes out of their parents' garage, they landed on Truff, a luxurious hot sauce infused with black truffle. And since then, Truff has carved out a distinct space in an otherwise ironically bland sea of hot sauces. Exclusive. You know, I urge everybody to try Truff.
It's great. Right?
I mean, first try the other brand, all right? Here you go. Try the other. Wait a minute. I shouldn't mute
Stop the music.
I'm going to stop. No, don't stop the music. Keep the music going. Don't help me, please. Try the other brand. There you go. Then try Truff. You'll love it. But when you try Truff, the angels will say,
yes.
Thank you. Great job, Mike. Good left hand. Exclusive eye-popping and mouth-watering. Fantastic. My hand. A hot sauce brand unlike any other. Truff has over 10,000 five-star reviews. It's the number one best-selling hot sauce on Amazon and at Whole Foods. Truff has been named on Oprah's Favorite Things gifting list 2 years in a row. More than 1 billion organic shout-outs on Instagram and over 1 million likes on TikTok. All I know is I love it, and so does everyone who tries it. It's perfection. There's nothing that doesn't benefit from Truff. Get 15% off site-wide plus free shipping with promo code TMOS at Truff.com. That's 15% off everything at Truff. T-R-U-F-F. F as in fantastic. .com. Promo code TMOS. Yeah, I mean, I've tried other ones. But this one really works. Oscar came in today and said he thought he broke his toe.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to you.
A foot injury's the worst injury in my eyes because you got to walk around. So there's no option to hide it or avoid it unless you're a glutton for punishment. And we've all stubbed our toe, I imagine, in our homes. And it's painful, or stepped on Legos if you've got kids or nieces or nephews or whatever. But when you really mess up your foot by stubbing, I would say, any toe, you really know something's off, right?
Right.
When's the last time something has happened? You're like, oh, there's something wrong now.
Well, Carla bought about a couple of years back a coffee table for the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how most coffee tables have four legs.
Yeah.
And they just sit there and then they've got their raised up off the ground. She bought one that has a wooden platform. So it's just a big chunk of wood that sits flush.
Yeah.
I hit my toe on that probably 9 or 10 times.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to turn it into kindling. I hated that. How did you injure your toe?
It's my fault because I'm cheap and I never wanted to remodel the house and it wasn't going to be enough and blah, blah, blah. 2 days ago, and I didn't mention it because I was just in so much pain. I was like, maybe this will go away, and it hasn't. I'm running into the kitchen to grab my keys because why would your keys be in the kitchen? They just are. And
oh, you were running late.
Yes. So I'm
The living room is not wide enough for his keys.
I would say running in your house is kind of hard because you get like a step.
You get a few steps.
You overshoot it and you're in the yard.
Steps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty good about, look, if I stub my toe on the couch or something, I get that. That's fine. But when you're in the clear, you're moving at a more rapid clip to get out. Mm-hmm. And sticking out just a little sliver, couldn't even see it, of our galley kitchen into the walkway was a cinder block. And I ran right into the cinder block with my foot.
Hey, here's a
question. Cinder block?
That's a fun question.
Why is there a cinder block in your kitchen the size of a sailboat kitchen?
Why is there a... I thank you, Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mike and Rob.
So there's an entryway into your teeny tiny kitchen, and then there was a cinder block jutting out?
Just slightly enough to just crush my right foot's toes.
When I picture Oscar's kitchen, I picture the galley of a 737. Something where the flight attendant has to sort of go in sideways.
Right. We have to turn sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
To do it.
But yet there's a cinder block there. A cinder block is no small investment.
This so
is
you like, mashed all four toes?
All four toes. Oh. They are all black.
By the way, for those of you why I asked that question that way, Oscar only has four. Yeah.
That's right. He's like a Simpson.
My big toe is fine.
Your
the little guys
toe.
Are jacked up and they are black and purple.
Hey, remember when we played that word game? How's your minimus?
Yeah, that's the baby toe.
That's the baby toe, yeah.
So the cinder block, as Max von Sydow would say, why was there a cinder block?
So who do you, what happens when you get mad? You want to pick up what hit it and
sure.
You want to destroy
it,
right?
You hurt it like it hurt you.
That's yeah. Right. So I'm going to hurt you, cinder block.
Yeah, exactly.
All I said is I dropped a huge F-bomb. I'm sure my neighbors heard it.
Sure.
And I said, why the F is there a cinder block in our kitchen? And my beautiful, nice wife is in the living room, not too far away. She goes, oh, I've been meaning to take that out into the patio.
Said, yeah, but that doesn't answer the question.
Why is that in the kitchen?
Yeah.
And she says, well, when the contractors were here a while ago, they had it here. They just never took it with them. And I said, why is it in the kitchen? It doesn't answer the question about why is this in the kitchen jetting out in the middle of the walkway. She goes, I sometimes use it to get to the top of the cabinets.
Oh. I was hoping for that one. That's the one I was that's the one I was hoping.
Step, she's like a step using stool. It, yeah.
A little
I said,
cheap
can
step stool
we
there.
Not
bless
afford
her
a step stool?
Oh,
we could order
God.
It from anywhere. We have them everywhere at work.
Yeah.
Why a cinder block?
You get that woman a step stool or those those devices you hold that you can reach.
Oh, a grabber.
The little calipers or whatever the hell they are.
Even if you have that. Okay, fine. You want to use a cinder block because you don't feel like ordering something new? Fine. Shimmy it all the way in. Shimmy it all the way in.
Put your cinder block away, Peach.
Right?
I was hoping for that. As soon as you said cinder block, I was using it as a step stool.
Yeah.
I'm so happy with that result. But back to your toes. How much damage do you think you did? You didn't break them. Come on.
To break the skin?
I can't. I tried to ride the bike yesterday.
Is there any blue?
It's painful.
Is there any blue? Is there any blood?
There's blue and black.
There's blue and black? You've got nails that are blue?
I've had busted nails before that die. The little knuckles on my little toes are all black and blue.
Oh, you really bruised it up.
All three.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't put painful.
Can you put weight on it?
No, I've got these. I walk with a limp now. I do. I'm not kidding.
I thought it was swagger.
Do you believe that the damage is such that you would at some point seek some medical attention? Did you call any of your relatives? To ask about your toe.
No, because I think, look, I can share the trashy bits of my life here. I don't need to tell my brother and sister that we use a cinder block as a step stool.
And
you
I'm
know, I was thinking
not.
You could kill two birds with one stone. You could, ask about the toe health and then, throw in a little theory about the picture in the bedroom.
No.
That might work.
I'm ashamed enough. I don't need to share more. I just don't.
When it's she so uses sad. It as a step stool, does she use it the tall way or the flat way?
But I don't.
Oh, of course she uses the flat way. What do you think she is? You think she's like Mr. Miyagi or something like that? What's going on?
Because if it is, it's not giving her much height then. That's right.
You'd have to be skilled. You'd have to be like skilled. You'd have to be like that guy we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Nick Walenda, to be on the.
She is a yogi. And she has the balance to do it.
But the kitchen's not that big, right? She doesn't have to go that high.
No. She doesn't go that high. And look, she's on occasion, I've seen her on the countertop, standing on the countertop, getting stuff from the top of skin. It's commonplace.
I just thought of this.
Yes.
Okay. So in my house, what we play, the difference in my house is that if you want Mike not to get at something,
mm-hmm.
don't worry about up high. You go down low.
Yes.
you want to put some Entenmann's in the house?
Yes.
You go on the bottom, on the floor, shelf, underneath the shelf, in the pantry, slide it all the way back there. And then, you know, see me. I can't get down there. I can't do that. That with the bionic me doesn't get down there. When's the last time you got down to within 10 inches of the floor, Rob? You can't do it,
no,
right? You cannot do it.
I say the same thing every time. I had to organize under the oven this past weekend. I said, Carrie, right. I have to sit down on the floor. I hate this.
It's embarrassing.
I hate sitting on the floor.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It's the worst.
And it makes me queasy, too. In fact, this is this is the sound of me when I tried to do it last week.
What do I do?
There it is. Can't stop playing that sound.
Oh, God.
Well, keep us posted on your toes.
Yeah,
please
look,
do.
Picking up a cinder block and throwing it on the ground is not something you can do when you're out of shape. So there's that.
Right.
You can't break something that broke you. You don't. And then...
Did you take it out of the house, though? Did you remove it after that, the scene of the crime?
Oh, I picked it up and I left
threw
it,
it through the window.
No, I left it in the middle of the living room. I said, this has got to go. And ask me where it is 3 days later.
Oh, is it in the middle of the living room?
It's right next to the Peloton bike. Well, I'm sure where it belongs.
Oh, and you know what? Maybe tomorrow we could talk about the recall.
Of the
treadmill. The Peloton.
Are you familiar with that? Life keeps getting
better. I'm familiar.
Thank you. Very good. Exciting.
Well, at least it's just every Peloton.
Right. And by the way, that cinder block in the middle of the floor in the living room, that takes up one quarter of the entire living space too.
I don't know when I became so trashy. Like, I used to be classy and care about my house and the way I live. Not anymore.
There we go. We'll come back with a digital dumpster right here. The cinder block dumpster on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Oscar, it is your father.
I listen to The Mike Show.
The Mike Show!
And then...
The Mike Show!
There was a segment on The Mike Show where you talked about me dying and the list you gave me.
I am disappointed in you.
Am I your payaso? Which means, am I your clown?
Oh,
am I your clown, right, in Spanish?
No.
And,
am I your clown?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it sounds worse in Spanish.
Yeah, payaso.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Your brother's being pushy. Tell him to back off.
Say hello to my little...
Don't be un payaso. The TMOS bonus show is an extra uncensored hour of La Diversión. Every week, order a subscription today by clicking the banner at MikeOmeraShow.com. And you'll have a plethora of the Mike Bonus Show.
Payaso.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Thanks to the vaccines, we're getting back to normal, and that means dressing like a grown-up again. Yay. Dressing sloppy eventually gets old. And no one wants to see you running around in your neighborhood with your old sweats.
Right.
It's a pants-demic. Pause for laugh. 1-1000, 2-1000. Yeah, you wrote that.
I did.
And the only cure is Public Rec. They make leisure wear in waist and inseam sizes because comfort starts with a better fit. One of the first companies to do this. I love this company. My favorite pants are their best-selling all-day, everyday pants, although they make golf stuff as well. They're more stylish than sweatpants. They're great alternatives to jeans. And Public Rec has incredibly comfortable shorts, T-shirts, Henleys, polos, jackets, golf gear. You can live in this stuff, and you should try it. Here's what I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to go to Public Rec. They rarely offer discounts, but right now they have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Here's what I want you to do. Go to publicrec.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS to receive 10% off. That's publicrec, spelled REC.com/TMOS, and use our promo code TMOS for 10% off. Let's go over to the thing and open it up, see if she's still in there. Francis... Still there.
She sent me a note. She sent me a note. She said she could probably get out if she had a cinder block.
Oh, that's exciting.
But for the immediate future, Frances McDormand is still in the double D. Okay, so 16 years ago, this lady spots John Mayer on the street and really wants to get a picture with him. And all she can do is like get within 5 feet of him. The manager is between them. John Mayer is not even making eye contact with her. It's just a picture of a desperate lady trying to get a picture with John Mayer. This is 16 years ago. Recently, her son puts the picture up on Instagram and says, "Thanks, John Mayer, for snubbing my mom." Mm. Well, John Mayer sees it and writes an apology song. He posted it yesterday.
Christine, even though it may appear I was mean, I was probably on my way to a thing Hell, anyway, weren't those the days? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Chromatic challenge.
I think that's great.
He does it in a snarky way, doesn't he?
Oh, sure. If you are John Mayer, you can do anything in a snarky way.
Yeah, that's right. You're a snarky dude, so do that. I think that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
I like
that. All right. Speaking of singers, Oscar, are you a fan of Colson Baker?
I'm not sure of Colson. I don't know if I've.
Maybe
if
you
I
know him by his showbiz name, yeah. Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh yeah. He's doing he's with Megan Fox these days.
Yeah, good looking yeah. couple, and he was spotted in concert the other day wearing SpongeBob SquarePants socks, and it caused a little bit of a stir. So he did a concert in his hometown of Cleveland and led the audience in this sing-along.
Kind of like buying a Bentley, but the Bentley's a loner car. go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. That's very sexist.
He led the audience in a sing-along, and he almost knew some of the words.
Absorbent in yellow, it pours to see. Drop on the something and something you wish.
We all do that. I do that with SpongeBob.
Drop on the deck and something like a fish. Ready, SpongeBob SquarePants.
How would you like to pay top dollar for that concert?
Machine Gun Kelly. I think his machine gun is probably pretty significant.
Oh, it's working overtime.
Concert. Yeah.
Poor absolutely. Brian Austin Green.
I haven't seen pictures of Megan Fox recently. I haven't seen her. She's been
just gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, she was on the last season of New Girl, and she was a great character on New Girl. Very lovely. So, Mike, how about demos?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No hitter, almost perfect game, but unfortunately fell a little bit short with wild pitch.
Wild pitch put a man on first, but other than that, with no hitter. And
no hitter would have been perfect, except for that wild strike. By the way, it was a strikeout, and that means he gets to run down to first base, so the catcher didn't get the ball down here soon enough to spoil the perfect game, which would have been perfect.
You want to talk about a historic organization. Do you know that in the history of the Birds, they've had 10 no-hitters?
10 no-hitters?
Only 10. The last one was 1969. Jim Palmer.
Jim Palmer had one. I was going to mention that. You got your Jim Palmer. You got your Mike Torres. No, he was a Cincinnati Red. Sorry about that. I'm trying to think. I can't do the accent and think of my my Orioles that used to really handle the Boston Red Sox when I was a kid. Growing up, you had Jim Palmer. You had Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, I remember Mike Flanagan, yeah.
Jim Palmer, wasn't he pitching mortgages when we were younger?
Yep.
All over
the
place?
I think so.
I remember
the old Orioles. I remember the manager, Earl Weaver. You had your Jim Palmer. You had your Boog Powell. You had Brooks Robinson. You had Bobby Gritch. Bobby Gritch.
Eddie Murray.
Eddie Murray. You had that one. You had Cal. Don't forget Cal Ripken.
I think he's in a category in his own
you
self.
You had Don Baylor. You had so many of these incredible. That is an amazing franchise when you think of the players they had. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I still remember all of them O's. Old M.A.'s.
The guy that threw the no-hitter, his name is John Means, and was kind of special because he just recently, last year, lost his father to cancer. Oh, and he said as the game was finishing up, he actually felt his dad's influence.
One out away. The wind, first pitch. A swing and a line drive. It is caught by the shortstop, Barrios. And John Means has done it in Seattle. He has thrown a no-hitter. And today, a day that John Means will never forget.
I looked at my glove right before I went out there for the ninth. It has his initials on it. You know, I said to myself, he wouldn't care. He's just glad that I'm having a good time. The accolades and everything like that never mattered to him. But it was pretty special, and I know he'd be proud.
I had no idea that the Orioles had the Red Sox number for many years. That's a fascinating thing. And so when you moved down here, when you moved to D.C., there was no D.C. ball team.
I remember listening to the radio in August and listening to the Red Sox swing through Baltimore and talking. They would always talk about how incredibly hot it was and the Red Sox would be getting housed down there. And then I remember I'm old enough to have gone to Memorial Stadium and taken in a few Red Sox games over there and then Camden Yards and saw the Orioles. It seemed a lot when I would go to Fenway up in New England. I would see the Orioles there. I saw Boog Powell hit a home run over the right field wall one time in Fenway that was one of the most prodigious home runs I've ever seen. Big giant guy. Boog Powell. Boom. He hit one. Yeah, they always beat the Red Sox.
Anything prettier than the old Memorial Stadium?
I had my first crab cake. I thought they were hockey pucks. They sold them in Memorial Stadium.
Yes.
That had to be the greatest trade up for any major league franchise to go from Memorial Stadium to
Camden Yards.
Beautiful.
Prison.
Yes. It looked like a prison.
Here's a testament to Camden Yards. If you get to Baltimore, take in an Orioles game, there is just none better. It is one of the very first of the modern stadiums that they built, and now it's not modern anymore, where they tied it into the warehouse. It's fantastic. And then they went on to make stadiums a lot like that. It is a great place to see a baseball game.
Love it. And speaking of sports, there is a TikTok account called Dumb Dads, and a guy did a fake press conference, and he so captures the mood and the flavor of a post-game press conference a big athlete would give, but it's just for being a dad.
Yeah, honestly, just felt like we got behind early. After the milk spill and the marker on the wall, we just felt like we were playing catch up the rest of the day.
Right before you went to the store, you called a timeout. Was there an attitude change after that?
Yeah, it felt like we were losing our heads there for a minute, so we wanted to just calm things down and get back to the basics.
Did you ever find your keys?
No idea where they are.
You gave them a snack half hour before dinner. Was that planned?
No. Lost track of time. 3 bites of dinner. That's on me.
3 bites of dinner. That's on me. That's the double D. Have a good Thursday, everybody.
That's awesome. That is so athlete speak.
Yeah. Fantastical. After the milk spill, we were just playing catch up.
That's that. We got to get out of here. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana and his bad toes. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It ain't over until it's over.
All you people want is more, 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 more.
Oh, good for you.
What do I do?